بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد We continue our readings on the work of Umm Abdillah al-Wadi'iyyah حفظها الله تعالى that she has entitled نصيحتي للنساء My advice to the women We have been reading from the chapter the author she had mentioned حفظها الله تعالى من آفات اللسان من آفات اللسان from the ills of the tongue and from the affairs that have come in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with regards to the dangers and the ills that come by way of the tongue of an individual. And we see that the author, Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala, she is mentioning these affairs to be a reminder for the Muslim woman particularly, because this book is advice to the women. But likewise, the man can benefit from this advice in general. And this is advice to remember to guard one's tongue and that from the completion of al-iman is to say that which is beneficial and good and allowed and permissible and to refrain from saying with the tongue that which is impermissible and not beneficial and not considered good. And the mention of these foul and lowly traits and this conduct that is performed with the tongue, that is considered from the diseases of the tongue, and from the affairs that could destroy an individual, and that could cause a person to land in the hellfire because of the movement of their tongue and their lips, and the statements of an individual can be heavy for him. Meaning heavy for him, if they're correct and beneficial, or heavy against him, or her, yani, if they are not correct, and they are not upright, nor are they beneficial. So to mention these diseases of the tongue in order to be aware of them, to know that the tongue is a great benefit and a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, and a servant can raise in rank and status with Allah Azza wa Jal by using his or her tongue in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, in a manner legislated and allowed by the Lord of the worlds, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But as for the one who does not follow the guidelines and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to the tongue, then he has the threat of a punishment. And the anger of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala could even enter the hellfire, in the depths of the hellfire because of a statement that comes off the tongue. So to mention them is to know them, and to know them in order to be aware of them and to stay away from them. And if one were to see that they have some of these characteristics or that their tongue commits some of these actions, they will repent from that. They will hasten to repent from that, and they will fear Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to their tongue, and they will rectify their situation. من أفاتي اللسان من أفات, she says, حفظها الله, from the diseases of the tongue. And to know the evils is very important, and to know the evil deeds and actions, whether they're with the tongue, or with the hands, or the evil creed, likewise, before all of that, is very important for a believer to know. Just as a believer must learn the obligations and the good and the khayr in order to perform it, likewise a believer must be well aware of the evil and the shar and the falsehood in order to stay away from it and to be cautious and to warn others from that evil. It has been mentioned from the poet in this manner, and he has said, عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكَنْ لِتَوَقِيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ That I did not learn about evil for the sake of evil. And, you know, a person will not learn about the evil for the sake of the evil, and meaning in order to apply it or to work by way of it. عياذا بالله. For example, the evils of the tongue, one will not learn about them in order to know them and to apply them. عياذا بالله. Rather, لِتَوَقِيهِ But rather to be aware of that and to be cautious from that and to protect oneself from falling into that. وَمَن لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ Because whoever does not know the difference between evil and good, then he will fall into the evil. Meaning, and he will not even know. So here she is teaching us and reminding us and clarifying for the Muslim woman particularly. نصيحتي النساء. And likewise the males and the brothers, they benefit from this as well. And they must guard their tongue as well in the same manner. That to know about these affairs is very important, and to cultivate oneself upon the knowledge of that which is permissible and impermissible, in order to apply the good and the khayr, to perform that, and in order to know the evil and the wicked ways of falsehood and transgression, in order to avoid and to stay away from it, and to stay away from it entirely. So she has mentioned, and we have read, that even the tongue can make a statement of shirk, yadhin billah, taking a person entirely out of Islam. The tongue can make a statement with the tongue, and it's such a small organ, and it's so easy to use and to let loose. But it can make a statement of disbelief that would cause an individual to leave entirely from the deen of Islam and enter entirely into shirk and into disbelief, yadhin billah. And likewise, a person with their tongue, if they're not cautious and they're not careful from those diseases that we have discussed and the author she has mentioned. حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى النُّطْقُ بِالْبِدْعَةِ To use the tongue to pronounce and make statements of innovation. عَيَاذٍ بِاللَّهِ All of these are from the ills of the tongue that a believer, male and female. But here, this work here in this class here specifically, لِلنِّسَى For the women, for the sisters. To be aware of that. To stay away from shirk and kufr. And to not make the statements of evil like this. This is the worst of all statements. And to stay away from the statements of innovation and wickedness in introducing innovated fears in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ascribing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the legislation of Allah azza wa jal that which is free from statements of innovation. Very dangerous affair. The affair of the tongues. The affair of the tongue. Likewise, she mentioned the affair of backbiting. And also spreading tales. We have seen that which has preceded. We just take a brief review to remember the dangers of this affair. And this is in actuality. May Allah reward the author. She is cultivating and raising the sisters in the best manner to be aware of these evils so they can free themselves from it. And that they can decorate themselves with the opposite of these affairs. And they can make statements of Tawheed. And they can make statements of Iman. And then statements of Al-Islam. And they can have the speech that is good according to the Sunnah. And they can say the words that are praiseworthy and beneficial and lofty. And they can avoid those lowly statements. And they can stay away from speaking ill of the believers and backbiting them. And they can keep their tongue clean and likewise their hearts clean and their souls clean and pure. Because we know that the tongue, it only dishes out that which is inside of the heart. So in reality, these chapters here, my noble sisters, this is tarbiyah for you. This is cultivation and education. This is tarbiyah for you and for your souls, so that you can raise yourself upon piety and righteousness, and you can correct yourself and refine your soul and rectify your condition and your heart in order to be upright and to be a pious sister, to be a sister who is salihah, not just a Muslima, but Muslima salihah. A mu'mina, naam, a believing sister, but you should be a mu'mina salihah. Naam, upon the sunnah, naam, sunniyah, naam, but be sunniyah salihah. You ascribe to the way of the Salaf. This is excellent. Alhamdulillah. But on top of that, you also have to be saliha. Salafiyatun saliha. Because some of those women, even though they ascribe to the manhaj, and even though there's no doubt that they are from the people of Ahl Sunnah, and their creed and belief, but because of their deficiency in their faith, they have a low rank. Because of the deficiency in their iman, they fall into sins. They fall into transgression. And they take the commandments and prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jalla lightly. Because of this, yes, a person we have seen previously, maybe he's from Ahl Sunnah, but from the people of the Sunnah, there are people who are called Fusaq. Naam al-Fasiq al-Milli. The one who is from the people of the Sunnah, but he's corrupt. And he's corrupt because of sins, and his desires have overcome him, and he has disobeyed Allah and transgressed the boundaries, and he has partaken in the haram, and even possibly left off some of the obligations. This is something that is very possible and known to the ulama. And in that, from the people of the sunnah, there are those who are sinners. So then, for you, oh my sister, to be from the people of the sunnah, this is great, and this is excellent, and this is what is required. But after that, you must rectify yourself as well, and comply entirely. not only in creed, but to rectify that creed and to complete it, to make the actions in accordance as well. Because that beautiful creed and that manhaj of the Salaf, it requires for you to be righteous, because they were righteous. And they were called As-Salaf, As-Salih, and they were known for piety and righteousness in their hearts and on their tongues. In their hearts and on their tongues. And on their tongues and in their actions. They were people who were pious and righteous, and they were far from sin and transgression. They were far from speaking statements of shirk and disbelief and innovation. And they were far from backbiting and scaring tales about other Muslims. And they were far from finding fault and belittling the people. They were far from these affairs. These affairs that she is mentioning that are foul and that are from the diseases and the trials of the tongue. She is telling this and reforming you, oh my sister, so that you can be aware and you can cleanse yourself from that. And you can be upright and correct and good. So this is tarbiyah. May Allah reward the author with good. Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, may Allah reward her with good. This is cultivation. We have to cultivate ourselves upon the correct creed and the correct belief. Likewise, the correct methodology and the correct manhaj. And from the completion of that is complying to the commandments of Allah. And complying sincerely to the commandments of the Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and leaving off the prohibitions entirely. And leaving off the prohibitions entirely. These are from the completion and from the hukuk and the affairs that are considered mukamilat at tawheed. The things that complete the faith and the complete a person's tawheed is that he will comply to the commandments of Allah. And that he will comply to the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with obedience. And they will refrain and avoid and stay away from all of the affairs that are impermissible, even the affairs that are doubtful, or even the affairs that are disliked. The higher the one travels, In the ranks of obedience and the status of ibadah, they will leave off even more seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after entering into the fold of Islam and finding the correct path of the Salafiyya, this is excellent, alhamdulillah, and a favor from Allah. Now a believer must even continue to strive and to struggle and to strive against their soul to rectify their condition and their self and to complete their faith and to complete their iman and to complete their Salafiyya by being obedient, to be upon the way of the Salaf outwardly and inwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. Now, this is the affair here that she is raising us upon, teaching us these affairs, very important affairs. This is from the narrations before that. These are affairs that are mentioned in the book of Allah and from the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of these diseases that she has mentioned thus far, she has mentioned many evidences clarifying that this is the deen of Allah azza wa jalla, that this is the true way of Islam, that a believer will guard and protect their tongue. And in reality, they are guarding and protecting their religion and their deen and their tawheed and their iman. So we see likewise, she mentioned al-kadhib in that foul and lowly trait. And we have been reading likewise in our previous classes that the author, Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, she is mentioning now the affair of ifsha asir, spreading secrets. And this is where we had left off in our previous class. And we were discussing this affair. That she has mentioned, Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, the affair of spreading secrets. Ifsha'u asir. So we continue reading under the chapter, the main chapter title that she has mentioned, Min Afat al-Lisan, from the diseases or the ills of the tongue. And we continue likewise where we left off in our previous class before Ramadan, walillah alhamd, Ifsha'u asir. Ifsha'u asir. To spread the secrets. And we have seen the introduction of this affair. And some examples of spreading secrets. And we also have read that which the author, she has mentioned. And she began by mentioning the affair that Allah mentioned in Surah At-Tahrim. And the affair that occurred with Aisha and Hafsa, radiyallahu anhuma. And we were discussing this affair before. Whenever the secret that was disclosed from these two wives, these two noble and pious and righteous wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha and Hafsa, radiyallahu anhuma. And we remember this issue. And we have discussed this issue in a bit of detail. But today, to remind and to remember, and hopefully, likewise, to be able to actualize and to live upon the proper creed and belief, because this is from the affairs of the iman, from the affairs of iman, and to remember the creed of Ahlul Sunnati with regards to the Sahaba, with regards to the Sahaba, all of them, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. Because we see that many of the people of falsehood, and many of the enemies of Islam, even if they claim to love the Muslims, even if they claim to be from the Muslims, but in reality, and they claim and they hide behind a false love and claim for the love of the house and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they find fault and they talk bad about the companions, even the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to be aware of them and to know. And many of them, from the Rafi'ullah, for example, they have misinterpreted these verses. The verses in Surah Al-Tahrim, mentioning the affair, and likewise the hadith that has come, mentioning the affair of Aisha radiallahu anha, and her co-wife, Hafsa radiallahu anha, and that secret that they disclosed, and what Allah mentioned about them. But what is known about them is that they had repented from that, and that they sought the repentance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and He called them to that, and then He accepted that, and He allowed them to repent, and He guided them to Tawbah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was a means for their rank to be raised, and their status to be increased. And this is the way, in general, of a believer, that even if he falls, or he slips, and he falls into sin or transgression, and then after that he repents, that repentance is a means to raise his rank and to lift him and his status. So the one who slips, this is his case, that he repents. And this is the belief of Ahl Sunnah. We have seen this before, and I repeat that statement, and because we want to make this firm, that the way that is correct with regards to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah towards the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that they say nothing but good about them. That they say nothing but except good about them. And they refrain entirely from mentioning anything bad about them whatsoever. And that in their hearts they have nothing but love for them and respect. And in their hearts they have nothing but honor for them. So here she's mentioning this affair. And to clarify the issue of spreading the secrets. But we must know the proper creed with regards to this. Then we see that many of our sisters, even subhanAllah, many of our brothers, they have been led astray. And they have even fallen victim to some of the claims that those people make. And they claim to hide behind the love of the family of the Prophet, Ahlul Bayt, and the likes like this. But in reality, they're liars. And their claim is false. And they use that as a shield and a guard in order to spread mischief and evil amongst the ranks of the believers. And what is known is that those people who find fault with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're really heretics, and they're trying to find fault with the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're trying to find fault with the deen that he came with, the deen of al-Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we shouldn't be deceived. As I mentioned, that many people that have been affected by that, and they have sympathy toward the Rafidah, and they have sympathy towards some other ignorant individuals who have written tafsir, or other ignorant individuals who have staked a claim to knowledge and claim to be from the ulama, and they speak ill of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they speak ill of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and they speak ill of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, and other than them from the Sahaba, and other than them from the Sahaba, and even the Rafi'ullah, they speak ill of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the one who narrated the most narrations. They claim to ascribe to al-Islam, and then they have statements like this. And their hearts are full of enmity and jealousy and hardship and rancor towards the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should never be deceived by them. We should never be deceived by them. And we should know the reality of them. And that's what the point of this class is today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. To know that whenever we see the likes of these texts mentioning here, these affairs that happen between the companions, that maybe some of them have fallen into sin. And this has preceded, that they're not saved from sin. The ones who have the isma, they're the anbiya, or the rusul. They're the ones who are saved from falling into major sin. The messengers and the prophets, as for everyone after them, including the companions, radiallahu anhum, then they're not safe. They don't have the safeguard from never falling into sin. But we read that statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala one more time to remember the reality of this and the affair of the companions specifically. And he said, rahimahullah, fi kitabihi minhaj as-sunnah. He said, rahimahullah, wa ahlu sunnati yaquluna, and the people of the sunnah, what do they say with regards to the companions? The ones who had fallen into sin, or they had errors, or fell into mistake, أَصْحَابُ الذُّنُوبِ تَابُوا مِنْهَا وَرَفَعَ اللَّهُ دَرَجَاتِهِمْ بِالتَّوْبَةِ. That they are people who had sins. These are people who had sins, and they repented from them, and Allah raised their ranks by way of that repentance. Allah raised their ranks by way of their repentance. Allah raised their ranks by way of their repentance. So this is the belief. Anything that happened or that we may read in the narrations that has an indication of some shortcoming that occurred or something of a sin that is mentioned with regards to one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is what we believe. That if one of them fell into sin or into error, that Allah guide them to make tawbah and to repent, and this is a means to raise their rank above that error. And in any case, we do not say anything ill about them whatsoever, and in our hearts we have nothing except for love and respect for them and honor. And in our hearts we have nothing except for love and respect for them and honor. And our tongues are free from saying anything foul about them whatsoever, and we only mention them with khayr. We only mention them with khayr. And then Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned specifically about these two companions and these two family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha wa Hafsa, and this affair here that is mentioned in Surah Al-Tahrim that we have been discussing. And he said, rahimahullah, وَدَعَاهُمَا اللَّهُ إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ, and Allah Azza wa Jal called them and invited them to make repentance. وَإِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ سَقَطْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. Now Allah called them to repentance. إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ سَقَطْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. Allah called them to repentance from that which occurred from them. So Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, rahimahullah, وَدَعَاهُمَ اللَّهُ إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ, and Allah invited them to tawbah, to repent. فَلَا يُظَنُّ بِهِمَا أَنَّهُمَا لَمْ يَتُوبَا. So no one would ever think about them that they did not repent. Allah called them to repentance in his book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would never be thought about them too. Aisha wa Hafsa radiyallahu anhuma, that they did not repent. It would never be thought about that. Ma'a ma thabata min uluwi darajatihima wa annahuma zawjata nabiyyina fil jannah. That no one would ever think about them that they did not actually repent after Allah calling them to repent. And what has been established from the reality of those two great women, radiyallahu anhuma, is their high status and their high rank, and that it's been mentioned that they are the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in paradise. In paradise. And we've seen that they were his wives whenever he died, and he even died in the house of Aisha radiyallahu anha, in her arms, radiyallahu anha, on her day. And from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we would never say anything bad about them. And we never use this story here that is mentioned in the Quran and these hadith about the spreading of the secret of this prophet, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to mention anything bad about them whatsoever. Like the Rafi'ah do. And the people who have been tried by them. And the people who follow their way and they have sympathy with them. Rather, inshallah, after we see in this lesson, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will clarify the reality of that. That those people, they are trying to find fault with the deen of Allah azza wa jalla. That those people are trying to find fault with the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala wa bi'awnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala, we discuss now, before continuing in the work, the creed of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah with regards to the Sahaba. And in general, the creed, the proper belief, and the proper faith and iman, and the proper creed and aqidah of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah with regards to as-sahaba al-kiram radiyallahu anhum. And this is going to be, inshallah, brief and concise and not in great detail. And the affair is a great affair, and there are many evidences, and we just mentioned some of them in hopes that it will be beneficial for the noble sisters and the listeners, so that they can be out upon clarity in their creed and to know that loving the companions is from the completeness of faith. And the obligation of the ummah entirely to love and to honor and to respect the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. So we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been narrated on him from the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awthaqu ur al-iman and tuhibba fillahi wa an tubghida fillah, that the strongest handhold of faith is, the strongest bond of faith, of iman, is that you love for the sake of Allah and that you hate for the sake of Allah. This hadith is in Al-Musnad by Al-Imam Ahmed and is authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani. And likewise, it's been collected by Al-Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah ta'ala, fi sunanihi, And also authenticated again by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullahu ta'ala, the hadith of Abi Umamata al-Bahiri radiyallahu anhu. And he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان فقد استكمل الإيمان. Then whoever loves for the sake of Allah, and he hates and dislikes for the sake of Allah, and he gives for the sake of Allah, and he prohibits for the sake of Allah, then he has verily completed his faith. Then verily he has completed his faith. So to love Allah Azza wa Jalla is the foundation, and this is ibadah. And the foundation of ibadah is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to comply to him, and to surrender to him, and to submit to him, and to worship him with love and veneration, and to worship him with love and humbleness and humility, alone, sincerity. And likewise, loving Allah Azza wa Jalla requires a believer to also love whom he loves and what he loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a person's faith will never be correct until they love Allah azza wa jal and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than they love their own self and their own family and their own children and their own father and everything in this life. So this is the affair here. And after that, the ones who have the most right to this love and for the completion of the faith to love, to be loved for the sake of Allah, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important for you to understand, my noble sister, and for the Muslim in general, that from the completion of faith and from the perfection of the deen and the proper understanding of the tawheed is that the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiyallahu anhum, they must be loved. This is an affair of aqeedah. This is an affair of tawheed, of iman, from the aqeedah and from the iman. What is based upon the iman and the completion of that iman is that a believer, he loves the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loves them, and he honors them, and he respects them, and he speaks good of them, and he makes dua for them, radiyallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhum. So this is something that is incumbent upon all of the ummah. This is something that is incumbent upon every single Muslim, to love them and to honor them, and to know their status and to know their rank and to know the lofty status that they have with Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, and what has been mentioned about them in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the praiseworthy traits and the good mention that Allah has for them in His book Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and that there should not be anything in the heart of a believer with regards to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there should not be anything in his heart except for love for them, except for respect for them, except for honor for them, all of them, the male and the female, the one who are from his family and the one who are from his companions and not from his family, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa radiyallahu anhum jami'an, that there's nothing in the heart towards them except for love, except for respect, except for honor. Based upon that love that's in the heart for them and that honor and that respect, nothing comes on the tongue with regards to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum, except for good, except for khayr, except for al-dhikr al-hasan wal-jameel, except for al-dhikr al-hasan al-jameel, the good and beautiful mention and speech towards the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, also we see from this that a believer likewise must be very cautious and be very careful that there will never be any animosity in his heart or hardship in his heart or anger or anything, any jealousy or rancor in his heart towards any of the companions, any one of them, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. And also that he must make sure that his tongue will never mention anything bad about them whatsoever. No matter what he reads in the books and the narrations and what he sees about the biographies of the Salaf, he will not mention them except in a good way. He will not mention them except in a good way. Naam, and this is the affair. And this is the affair of a believer. And this is the creed of a believer, that he loves the companions and his heart is full of love for them and honor for them. And his heart is full of respect for them. And likewise, his tongue mentions them with good. And his tongue mentions them with good and is far away from ever using his tongue to say anything foul, bad, or ill about the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum jami'an. This has been mentioned in the texts, of course, and the affair is clarified in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mentioned specifically for specific groups of the companions, even some specific individuals of the companions, radiallahu anhum, and also mentioned generally, in a general light, the praise. There's been specific praise mentioned for the companions, groups of them, and specific praise mentioned for individuals from them, and also there's a general praise mentioned for all of them, radiallahu anhum. So these affairs, there are many texts, and as I mentioned in the beginning, this will be a concise lesson, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, so we just mentioned some of them as an indication for the rest of them. And the sisters who are aware of this creed and they're aware of this affair, then they can find and they're aware of the rest of the evidences likewise that have been mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with regards to the lofty status and the high rank of As-Sahaba al-Kiram radiyallahu anhum. So Allah, He mentioned specifically about two great parties of the companions, radiyallahu anhum, and He says, وَالْأَسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. That the first and foremost from the muhajirin, from those migrators, والأنصار, and those the helpers from Medina, and those who follow them precisely and exactly in faith, then Allah is pleased with them. Then Allah is pleased with them. So the first, this is specific here. Those who migrated and those who aided them from the believers in Medina, who aided those who migrated to them, then Allah is pleased with them and they're pleased with Him. This is direct mention in praise and high status and rank. Allah is pleased with them. وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And this is the greatest thing that a believer can obtain, the pleasure of Allah. And Allah is pleased with them. And that's why وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. And He's also pleased with those who follow them, because they are upon the way that is correct, and they are upon the way that is praiseworthy, and they are upon the deen that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. The deen of Islam, the deen of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, السَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ هُمُ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا عَلَى هَذَا الدِّينِ. They're the ones that were upon that deen. الدين الذي ارتضاه الله سبحانه وتعالى لعباده. The deen that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is pleased with for His servants. Likewise, and there are other mentions specifically about companions, but we just mentioned here. Now we see also there's been a general mention and praise for the companions of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah, He has said, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. And then what did Allah Azza wa Jal say after that? وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about the companions and He said in Surah Al-Hadid, not equal among you are those who spent and fought before the conquering of Mecca with those among you who did so later. Such are higher in degree than those who spent and fought afterwards. And Allah is mentioning here in these verses that those who fought with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they spent their wealth and their lives and their time and their efforts, and they fought along with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way before the conquest of Mecca. They have a higher rank and status than those companions who fought along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spent their wealth and their efforts along with him after the conquest of Mecca. So we see that the companions, they are all praiseworthy and Allah is pleased with them all, but they are different status and ranks, and some of them are higher than others, but all of them are upright and righteous and all of them are pious. And Allah clarified after that whether they are those who accepted Islam before the conquest and fought and spent their wealth before the conquest of Mecca or after that. Or after that, what did He say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And Allah has promised all of them al-husna. And Allah, all of them, those who fought before the conquest of Mecca and those who fought and spent after the conquest of Mecca, they're not the same in levels, but Allah has promised all of them al-husna. Allah has promised all of them al-husna. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. And Allah is well aware of that which you do. Al-Imam al-Sidi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he says, هَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى فَضْلِ الصَّحَابَةِ كُلِّهِمْ. This verse here, it indicates the virtue of the companions, all of them. حَيْثُ شَهِدَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَوَعَدَهُمْ الْجَنَّةِ. Because Allah in this verse, He has testified for them that they have faith. He has testified for them that they have faith, and He has promised all of them with Jannah. Yani He is interpreting that وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, yani الْجَنَّةِ, yani the great and good reward, and the best of that is الْجَنَّةِ. And the best of al-Jannah is to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. The companions, all of them, whether they, if they accepted Islam before the conquest of Mecca or after the conquest of Mecca, as long as they're the companions, they lived and they met, or they, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they believed in him and they died upon that, they're then their companions, then they're all promised Jannah. They're all promised Jannah. They're all promised Jannah. Who's promised Jannah after that? Are you promised Jannah? Are you promised Jannah? Am I promised Jannah? Has any of the Tabi'een been promised Jannah? Has any of the Atba'a Tabi'een been? No, but the companions, they're promised Jannah. They're promised Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book. And Allah testified that they have faith. Now that they have faith. Now, and that they are believers. And they have the promise of paradise. So this is a clear indication of the virtue of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and their high rank and their high status. Likewise, Allah, He mentioned in general about the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the best of them are the companions radiyallahu anhum, and the best of them is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiyallahu anhum jami'an. Allah, He says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best ummah that has been brought forth for mankind. You are the best ummah that has been brought forth for mankind. You know, the ummah of Muhammad, at the leader of them, the companions, at the leader of them, Abu Bakr. رَضِيَ anhu wa anhum jami'an. Now, so the ones who had the most right and claim to this verse, يعني, كُنْتُمْ, you all, خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, you are all the best ummah brought out for the mankind, brought forth for mankind, and the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first and foremost, they have the most right to that claim. They have the most right to that claim. Like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He has mentioned himself in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that is muttafaqun alayhi, that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayrun nasi qarni thumma alladhina yalunahum thumma alladhina yalunahum, that the best of mankind is my generation. يعني كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس, you are the best ummah brought out for the people. And then the Prophet, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of the people is my generation. And the believers of the ummah of Muhammad, it's the best nation ever, and the best of them are the companions. And then after that, the tabi'een. And then after that, it's tabi'een radiyallahu anhum jami'an. نَمْ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, the best of the mankind is my generation, and then those who come after them, and then those who come after them, until the end of the hadith. So they're the best of this ummah, and they're the ones who have transmitted this deen to us, and they're the ones who have witnessed the revelation, and they're the ones who accompanied the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and spoke with him and lived with him and aided him and defended him, and many of them, they died in his defense. Many of them, they spent their lives in his defense. They gave their soul to defend him. And there's stories that are very famous and known, that before a rock would ever hit him, they would prefer that it would hit them. And they would stand in the way of weapons. Before the weapon would ever hit the Prophet, it would hit them themselves. And they would give their life and their soul for him. And they did that, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. And likewise, after his death, they did the same thing, giving their life and their soul to defend his deen and to spread his sunnah and to clarify the truth and the haqq that has been revealed from the Lord of the worlds, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Radiyallahu anhum jami'an. They're the ones who have mentioned, for example, the statements, how do you know how to pray? Don't you know that the Prophet, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Who is the one who told us that he said that? Pray as you've seen me pray. Who is the one who told us that he said that? The answer is clear. The companions. Who was the one who showed us and told us after that he said that we have to pray like he prayed? Who was the one who clarified and told us how he prayed? The companions. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ جَمِيعًا. Who was the one who taught us how to eat?
And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has informed us how to eat. Ya ghulam, sami Allah, wa kul bi yaminik, wa kul mimma yalika. Oh, young boy, say the name of Allah and eat with your right hand and eat from that which is near to you. Who was the one who narrated this to us? Who was that young boy? He's the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're the ones who transmitted this to us. They're the ones who transmitted this deen to us and this way of life, the way of Islam and the way of the sunnah. Huh, that's why they're the Salaf al-Salih. They're the pious predecessors. Huh, them and their students and the students and their students, the ones who have been praised in that previous narration and the ones who have been praised in that ayat that has been mentioned from Surah At-Tawbah, Sabiqun al-Awwalun, an ayat. So the point is, Barakallahu fikum jami'an, that the virtue of the companions is lofty and high and known. And if it is not known, it must be known. And it's an obligation to know. And the one who does not know, he's deficient. And the one who does not act accordingly, his iman is not complete. And his tawheed is not complete. His iman is not complete and his tawheed is not complete. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. Whoever loves for the sake of Allah, and whoever hates for the sake of Allah, and whoever gives for the sake of Allah, and prohibits for the sake of Allah, then he verily has completed his faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves his Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loves him. Allah azza wa jalla, he loves the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would only pick the best companions for him. And that's why he selected Abu Bakr. And that's why he selected Umar. And that's why he selected Uthman. And that's why he selected Ali. And that's why he selected Ibn Mas'ud. And that's why he selected Abbas wa Ibn Abbas. And that's why he selected Salama. And that's why he selected Sulaym. And that's why he selected all of these people that we know that there is. Allah chose them for his Prophet. Allah chose them to be the companions and the aiders of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Their status is high. Their status is lofty. They're the transmitters of the deen. They're the ones who defended the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They're the ones who lived and died upon the straight path, the way that is taught and verified and clarified by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So their right is a great right. Their rights upon us and their rights upon the ummah is nothing light. The rights of the companions is a great, great right. And because of this, we have to understand two very important points, and I indicated to them earlier. And these affairs are very important for the believer to know with regards to the companions. And these affairs are with regards to the tongue and with regards to the heart. The affair of the tongue and the heart with regards to the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is that the hearts of the believers, they must be clean. They must be clean and pure with regards to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, that he will not have any enmity in his heart, any hatred in his heart, any dislike. He will not belittle, have any fault in his heart with any one of the companions radiyallahu anhum. Rather, the heart must be full of nothing but love and honor and respect, and to know their status and to know their rank, and according to the legislation. Love, yani al-muhabba al-shar'iyya, not without any extremism. And yani the legislated love and honor and respect that they deserve and is required for them and given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, based upon that condition of the heart, then after that their tongues will not say anything foul about them. Meaning that their tongues will be safe and sound with regards to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the tongue of the believer will not say anything bad about them whatsoever. They will not say anything bad about them by cursing them or mentioning them in a bad manner or in a bad light or saying anything bad about them in any affair. And this is something that these two affairs here with regards to the heart and the tongue towards the companions radiyallahu anhum, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has mentioned in his book in Surah Al-Hashr. That Allah Azza wa Jal, he has clarified and indicated these two towards these two affairs in Surah Al-Hashr. And Allah, he says about them, mentioning he mentions three verses in Surah Al-Hashr. The first verse is about the virtue and the praise of the Muhajirin, and the second verse is about the virtue and the praise of the Ansar. And the third verse is the clarification of the condition of those who come after them. So we read the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. And he's, and Allah mentions about them, and there is also a share in this booty, mentioning from the verses previously mentioning about the booty and the bounty of war for the poor immigrants who were expelled from their homes and their property. And he from the al-fuqara al-muhajirin, those who migrated, those who were poor from the immigrants, and they were kicked out of their homes and they had to leave their property, all of this seeking the bounty from the Allah and to please Him. And why did they make the hijrah? Allah clarified that they made hijrah, why? Seeking the bounty and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to aid His religion and to aid His messenger. Naam, and helping Allah and His religion and His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah mentioned about them specifically, the muhajirun, such are indeed the truthful. Naam, wa ulaika humu sadiqun. Sadiquna fi imanihim. Wa sadiquna fi shahadatihim. صادقون في عقيدتهم ومنهجهم صادقون في أقوالهم وأعمالهم. They're truthful in their creed and their belief, and they're truthful in their testification of faith. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. They're truthful in their speech and their statement. They're truthful in their action. This is the companions, and this is what Allah has mentioned about the مهاجرين. And then He says, سبحانه وتعالى والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. Then the next verse, Allah is praising the Ansar, and He says, and those who before them had homes in Al-Madina and had adopted the faith, they love those who immigrate to them, and they have no jealousy in their breast for that which they have been given from the bounty and the booty of Banu al-Nadir. And they give the immigrants preference over themselves, even though they were in need of that themselves. And they prefer the muhajirin over themselves, even though themselves they were poor and in need. And Allah, He says, and whosoever is saved from his own covetousness, then such are they who will be the successful. So the muhajirun, they've been described as as-sadiqun, and Ansar, they're described as they are al-mufrihun. And no doubt that al-muhajirun wal-ansar kulluhum sadiquna mufrihuna, that they're all truthful and that they're all successful. Now the point of the issue is that which Allah, He mentioned about those who come after them. What is their condition with regards to those two groups of companions that have been mentioned previously? Allah, He says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ. And those who come after them, and after the muhajirin, and after the ansar, they say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. O our Lord, forgive us and our brethren who have preceded us in faith. This is the first point. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. What do they do with their tongues? They make dua for them. They say, O our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith. The first and foremost who would enter into this statement and this dua from the brothers, from our brothers, for if we make this dua now and we say, oh Allah, forgive us our sins and forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith, yani the first and foremost who enter from our brothers who preceded us in faith, the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the first of them, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, radiallahu an as-sahabati ajma'in. So then their tongues, what do they say? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. And then after that, Allah, He mentions, what do they do with their heart? وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And Allah, do not put in our hearts any hatred against those who have believed. Do not put in our hearts any hatred or animosity towards those who have believed. The first and foremost of those who have believed are the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum. Rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. O our Lord, You are indeed full of kindness and most merciful. This is a supplication that Allah has been in clarifying in this verse,
the condition of the people who come after the Muhajirun and the Ansar. What do they do with their tongues? They make dua for the companions, radiallahu anhum. What do they do with their hearts? They don't want to have any animosity or hatred or rancor in their hearts whatsoever. Rather, they're asking Allah to purify their hearts from that. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And the first and foremost from those who believe, and the first and foremost to be mentioned from those who have preceded us in faith, they are the companions. They are the companions, radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the case. So we see the first point here is that their tongues are safe from any foulness, and that their tongues, they say nothing but good, and they make dua for them, and they praise them, and they mention them with good. Radiallahu anhum. Ghafar Allahu lahum. غفر الله لهم ورضي الله عنهم جميعا. May Allah forgive them, may Allah be pleased with them, and nothing but good about them, mentioning their lofty traits and their great high status. And likewise, the heart has no animosity towards them. Rather, a believer makes dua. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Do not put in our hearts any animosity or hatred towards those who believe. And first and foremost, the companions, رضي الله عنهم. So this is a supplication that a believer should memorize from the supplications of the Quran that have come in the Quran, this supplication here. So a believer should memorize this and say this and ask this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O our Lord, forgive us and our brethren who have preceded us in faith, and do not put in our hearts any hatred against those who have believed. Our Lord, you are indeed full of kindness, most merciful. Yani Rabbana, ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. A believer will remember this, and he will say this whenever he's in sujood. He will remember this, and he will say this whenever he wants to make dua. This is from the du'as and the supplications that a believer will memorize, and he will repeat, and he will hope that Allah would answer. And also, likewise with that, this supplication should be understood, the creed that is found therein. And that is that the tongues of the believers who come after the companions, they have nothing but good to say about the companions, radiallahu anhum, and that they only mention them with good. And likewise, their hearts, they have nothing in their hearts except for a love and honor and respect for the companions, radiallahu anhum, radiallahu anhum. So the statement, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِيَخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِمَانِ, this is clear. That their tongues, what do they say? Those who come after them, what do they say? They make dua for them. They make dua for them. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned in the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet, he said, لَا تُسُبُوا أَصْحَابِي. Do not curse my companions. Do not curse my companions. And likewise, it has been mentioned authentically on the Prophet, again, from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. If my companions are mentioned, then be silent. Then be silent. And be silent from saying anything that is bad. And so this is something that is established in the book and in the sunnah. And likewise, in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Do not put in our hearts any enmity or rank or hatred towards those who believe. And the first and foremost of those who believe are the companions, radiallahu anhum. And this is a supplication for Allah Azza wa Jal. And a believer who makes this supplication is asking Allah to purify and to cleanse his heart from having any animosity. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا أَيْ طَهِّرْ قُلُوبِنَا مِنَ الْغِلْ وَالْحِقْدْ وَالْحَسَدْ تِجَاءَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And عموماً والصحابة خصوصاً. And that Allah, He will make supplication and dua. That Allah will make his heart pure and clean, and keep his heart free from any hatred or animosity towards any of the believers, and most specifically from them, the companions, radiallahu anhum jami'an. We close this lesson, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, with two great statements from the Salaf with regards to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them is the statement of Abu Zur'ah al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 264. The other one is a statement of Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 241. And the statement of Abu Zur'ah, rahimahullah ta'ala, has been collected and mentioned by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi with his chain in his book Al-Kifaya, Fi Ma'rifati Usuli Amr Riwaya. It's a book about Mustalah Hadith. And from the sciences of Hadith is to study and to know about the companions and the creed and the belief with regards to the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. So Al-Khatib, he mentioned with his chain
to Abi Zur'a rahimahullah ta'ala, and he said, and I hope that you pay attention and benefit, and that Allah makes a statement beneficial for you to understand the reality of those who find fault with the companions. Abu Zur'a, again, he died in the year 264. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَنْتَقِسُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الصَّحَابَ. Afwan, he says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلُ يَنْتَقِسُ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you see a man finding fault with anyone from the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ زِنْدِيقٌ. Then you must know that he is a zindiq. A zindiq is a pure hypocrite. A pure hypocrite is somebody who says they're a believer, but in their heart they disbelieve. This is a zindiq. مَنْ يُظْهِرُ الْإِسْلَامُ يُبْطِنُ الْكُفْرِ يَذِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Now, whoever, so there are people who made this claim to Islam in order to corrupt Islam from the inside, especially in the early days whenever Islam was conquering the lands and had great victories, and the people were not able to stop them by force, and they were not able to stop them from entering their lands by force, the enemies of Islam, from the Jews and the Christians and the Majus and other than them, from the Mushrikeen, some of them had plots to enter into Islam, fronting, yani, faking as hypocrites and displaying Islam in order to corrupt the Muslims from inside the ranks. To corrupt the Muslims from inside the ranks. And whenever they knew that they could not speak directly about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bad, or mention him in a bad light, and no one would accept that from them, then they went to the next level, and that is to talk bad about his companions, those who transmitted the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those who transmitted the Quran. So this is why he's saying this. If you see a man speaks ill about any one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then know that he is a zindiq, a pure, true hypocrite, yadhin billah. Now he clarifies, and this is a beautiful statement from the Salaf, a beautiful statement from Abi Zur'a, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, ذَلِكَ أَنَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ عِنْدَنَا حَقٌّ. And this is because the Messenger, with regards to us, he's the truth. وَالْقُرْآنُ حَقٌّ. And the Qur'an is the truth. وَإِنَّمَا أَدَّى إِلَيْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ وَالسُّنَنُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. The only ones who have transmitted to us this Qur'an and the Sunnah, they are the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Quran is the haqq. The Messenger, he is the Messenger of Allah bil haqq. He is the true Messenger sent by Allah with revelation, with the Quran and with the Sunnah truly. And the only ones who transmitted this to us, as he mentioned, rahimahullah, are the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now he says, and he's speaking about those who talk bad about any of the companions, وَإِنَّمَا يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَجْرَحُوا شُهُودَنَا وَإِنَّمَا يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَجْرَحُوا شُهُودَنَا لِيُبْطِلُوا الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةِ. And they only are seeking to find fault with our witnesses. And our witnesses in the situation of the revelation, they're the one who witnessed the revelation, and they witnessed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they transmitted that. So the companions, they're the ones who testified and witnessed to the authenticity and the truthfulness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they transmitted that to the ummah. So they want to find fault with these witnesses who witnessed this revelation and believed in it and transmitted it. Why? لِيُبْطِلُوا الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةِ. So that they can invalidate the Qur'an and the Sunnah. وَالْجَرْحُ بِهِمْ أَوْلَى. And they are more rightful to be found fault with and to speak ill of and to censor. وَهُمْ زَنَادِقَ. And they are pure zanadiqa, hypocrites truly. And this is the way of the people of Hadith with regards to anybody who speaks bad about the companions. We see today that some people, they have found sympathy with those who speak ill of the companions, and even maybe some of them, they don't want bad for Islam like this. They haven't reached this level, but they're following the ways of these other people, and they have been deceived by them. And even some of the sisters, likewise, maybe they'll say foul things about the companions, but not knowingly, not knowing the severity of this affair. This is something that is great. This is something that is great and something that is major. This is not permissible. You must be free from that. Free from that, and free from those who are upon that way, saying anything bad about the Messenger or his companions, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa radiyallahu anhum. Jami'an, Imam Ahmad, he says, and I mentioned in closing, he said, rahimahullah, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ رَجُلًا يَذْكُرُ أَحَدًا مِنْ الصَّحَابَةِ بِسُوءٍ فَاتَّهِمْهُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. He said, if you, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he died in the year 241. If you see a man, any man, mentioning the companions in a bad manner, then you should have doubt about his Islam. You should have doubt about his Islam. Anybody who talks bad about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should be doubtful and accuse this person about his Islam. And because what Abu Zur'a has mentioned, that the Quran is the haqq, it's the revelation from the Lord of the worlds, Tanzeelu Rabbil Alameen. subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hu Haq, he's the Messenger, he was sent, he has prophethood, a messengership, and he is the final and the seal of all messengers. And he has received revelation. And he has come as a warner and to mankind, and a giver of glad tidings to those who believe. And this is the truth. And the only way we know that is because his companions have transmitted that to us. That his companions, they have transmitted that to us. They're our first link. To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the people who find fault with him, they're trying to find fault with this deen, and they're trying to invalidate this deen, and they're trying to corrupt the deen and to mislead the people. Iyadhin billah. So then we see again that it's an obligation, imanun wajib, laysa bil mustahab. Rather, it's an obligation. From the obligations of faith, and from the obligations of iman, and from the correctness of the tawheed, to love and to honor and to respect the companions, radiallahu anhum, all of them. Wa kullan wa'ada Allahul husna, and Allah promised all of them jannah and good, the good reward. To love them all and to honor them all and to respect them all, and to have nothing in the heart except for love and honor for them, and to have the tongue be safe and clean and pure from ever mentioning them in any bad light whatsoever, any one of them. What has been mentioned, subhanallah, but I just remembered, and we close with this inshaAllah, the statement of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he died in the year 181. He said, what occurred between the companions was fitna. وَلَا أَقُولُ فِي أَحْدٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَنَّهُ مَفْتُونَ. He said that which occurred from the companions, and after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to the fighting that occurred between Ali and Muawiyah and their forces and their ranks, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. He said that no doubt that was a time of trials, and what occurred between them was fitna. But I do not say about any one of them that he is a person of fitna. What occurred between them is fitna. But I do not say about any one of them that he's a person of fitna. We don't say Muawiyah is a person of fitna. We don't say Ali is a person of fitna, radiyallahu anhuma, or anyone along with him, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. We don't say any. We say that what occurred between them was fitna, but we don't say to any of them that he's a person of fitna, annahu maftun. Allahu Akbar. Look at that creed, the creed of the people of Hadith. The creed of the people of Hadith. May Allah allow us to know that creed. To know that creed, and to be upon that creed, and to live upon that creed, and to actualize that creed in statement and deed. May Allah, from His mercy, allow us to live upon the Sunnah, and to die upon that way, and to love the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to love the Tabi'een, to know them, and to love the Atba' Tabi'een. May Allah allow us, from His mercy and from His kindness, to love them in their way, and to live upon that and die upon that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.